The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Each Monday, we spend a few minutes with Drew McKissick, chairman of the South Carolina Republican Party, to get an update. Mr. Chairman, how are you this morning?
Doing well this morning. How are you, sir?
I am wonderful. I think we're going to have a new weekly feature here as we visit. Last week, we talked about, of course, a South Carolina congressman that you guys had censured. This past weekend, we had another GOP member of the U.S. House of Representatives, Liz Cheney, who was censured by her state party. Here's what Ms. Cheney had to say about that.
Look, I think people all across Wyoming understand and recognize that our most important duty is to the Constitution. And as I've explained and will continue to explain to supporters all across the state and voters all across the state, the oath that I took to the Constitution compelled me to vote for impeachment, and it doesn't bend to partisanship. It doesn't bend to political pressure. It's the most important oath that we take. And so I will stand by that, and I will continue to fight for all of the issues that matter so much to us all across Wyoming.
So here's my question for you, Mr. Chairman. Do voters remember these votes a year or so from now when we get into these primaries?
Well, you know, I think the answer to that depends in many cases on what the vote was. And in this case, you have what I would say is probably, as far as Republican primary voters are concerned, just about the most egregious vote that you could cast. And that is, you know, not only voting to impeach the president, but voting along with a unanimous block of Democrats in basically a Democrat, you know, scheme, a sham impeachment, if you will, that, you know, again, had no witnesses, no testimony, no due process, et cetera, ginned up within about 24 hours, and essentially to give bipartisan cover to that. And, you know, in her comments there, you know, to me, strike me as, you know, a little on the arrogant side, because essentially you're, you know, contrasting yourself with 195 or however many it was other Republican colleagues that voted the other way.
Right.
You know, she was one of 10 who voted along with Democrats to impeach the president. And, you know, to believe or to continue to say that, you know, that they were the only ones who did the right thing versus all their other colleagues strikes me as kind of beyond the pale.
Yep. So tomorrow, sometime tomorrow, we're expected to start the trial phase of the second impeachment of President Donald Trump. What will you be looking for as this process gets underway?
Well, the first thing we're going to look for is we're going to look to see that the Chief Justice of the U.S. Supreme Court, who is, you know, according to the Constitution, is supposed to preside over this trial, will be looking to see that he is not present, because he has said he is not going to preside over this trial, which, you know, again, when the Chief Justice of the U.S. Supreme Court, who, again, the Constitution says is supposed to preside, says he's not going to, that tells you a little bit about whether or not he believes that this is an actual constitutional exercise, you know, especially in this case where you're trying to have a trial, an impeachment trial of someone who is no longer in office.
Yeah. Mark Meadows yesterday suggested that maybe, just maybe, there'll be some bipartisanship and get this thing over with quickly. Do you think it's just going to drag on? You know, this time last year, the first impeachment of Donald Trump lasted 20 days. Do you see this going on for weeks, or will it be over this week?
No, I don't think that it will, because I think the Democrats know that it is not in their best interest to have that happen, because this becomes a distraction from, you know, whatever legislative agenda that they're cooking up with Joe Biden, you know, that they're trying to propose and work through. It's a distraction from that, for the American people, and, you know, the support that they may be trying to gain as far as that's concerned. And also, you know, in the original impeachment last year, there were more than just one article. to deal with.
Yeah.
In this case, there is only one article from the House. And again, as we've pointed out so many times, it's totally bogus and cooked up. But it's less to actually have to cover. Plus, you have the fact that you have an individual, in this case, President Trump, former President Trump, who is no longer in office. And just the argument that is going to lend, to this whole conversation about whether or not this is actually constitutional to try to impeach someone who is not in office, which I think maybe goes back to the comment that you were pointing out. There may be a few Democrats in the Senate who might cross the aisle on this and say, well, no, technically we can't do this. Hey, we don't like President Trump, but we can't do this, or whatever they may say.
Yeah. Well, and it looks like, too, there's not going to be any witnesses. A number of people in the liberal media over the weekend, you know, played clips of things that the president said in his speech on January the 6th. It looks like they're just going to try to use his own words against him.
Yeah, I would imagine so. And, of course, you know, he has declined the Democrats' invitation, if you will, to put himself in the dock and allow them to question him, cross-examine him. I think he's wisely done so because, again, it's just a political sham. I think, again, you're going to have many Democrats there, at least a good number. Like, look for folks like, say, Joe Manchin or maybe Kristen Sinema out in Arizona. Some of these that are in red states, red to purple states, who are going to have to run for reelection. Not to play ball on this. Those are the ones in my mind I would keep an eye on.
Yeah. Yeah. It's going to be an interesting process for sure. I was talking earlier, how much money will we end up spending on this waste of time?
More than you care to count, no doubt about it. But look, hey, there are good things going on, though. You know, we've got the legislative action in Columbia right now with the heartbeat bill. You know, we got that out of the state Senate a week ago. Got it through a House subcommittee last week. It's going to go before a full committee this week, hopefully up for a vote of the full House next week, and potentially to Henry McMaster so he can sign it into law, which will be the most pro-life piece of legislation passed in the history of South Carolina if we get that done. And that goes right back to the things that, you know, the grassroots conservatives, Republicans expect whenever they vote Republican. They expect to see this kind of stuff happen. That new majority in the Senate now has given us the ability to get some things done. We're going to be focusing now on election reform and some other items that we're actually coming up for initial subcommittee testimony and introduction this week. So we're pushing that agenda along.
Well, and it just shows you what Republicans can do if they'll work together, and that's just the reason for us to work hard. And as the president said, fight. We got to fight for regaining control of the U.S. House and the U.S. Senate next year.
Well, and getting involved, and which brings me to the point I want to mention to everybody. If you want to get involved in the Republican Party at the local level, be coming up on reorganization meetings in March. You can go to scgop.com and sign up for our newsletter right now, so you'll get alerts whenever the reorg meetings come up in your area. They're in the Greenville, Spartanburg, Anderson County area. Those meetings, again, will be in March. This is your opportunity to get involved in the party at the local and state level. Campaigns are about manpower. We need more manpower. We had a great campaign in the last cycle, good folks working with us. Now's the time to begin to get ready for 2022. Yep. And this is essentially our membership drive, so love to have you involved. scgop.com.
This is where it all begins, for sure. Chairman Drew McKissick, always good to talk with you. We'll check in again next week.
Yes, sir. Have a good one now.